Welcome to PNC C-Speak, the language of executives, a podcast created to share the stories of the most successful, innovative, and inspirational leaders in Los Angeles. I'm Josh Schimmels, publisher and CEO of the Los Angeles Business Journal, and I'm here with my co-host, Todd Wilson, regional president of Greater Los Angeles for PNC Bank.
Thanks, Josh. It's wonderful to be here and a great time to be living in Los Angeles. Our region is coming into a four-year period like very few have ever seen. We're entering a period of tremendous economic growth and world visibility.
You're right. There's so much on the horizon, and we've already seen a lot of planning. It's hard to keep up. We've got the World Cup, Super Bowl, and of course, the Olympics. So Los Angeles has a lot to look forward to, but there's a lot of work to do.
There's a lot of cities that wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. I'm excited to see the way our region prepares for the world stage, all while recovering and rebuilding from the unfortunate impact of the wildfires. Los Angeles is special. It's a special region with special people all coming together to compete on an international scale. It's really going to be something to watch.
I think special is the right word. And today we have a chance to talk with one of the most dynamic leaders that's ensuring our economic growth. He's heavily engaged in the city's preparation for the future. He's had a tremendous career in international trade and now wears two very important hats here in Los Angeles, leading both the World Trade Center Los Angeles and the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation. Stephen Chung, welcome to C-Speak.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go back in time a little and I'm going to try to summarize your career. And I know I'm leaving a lot out. Social work, international trade, economic development. How did your upbringing in Hong Kong shape your career path?
I think when I moved here when I was about 8 years old, as an immigrant, it was not easy to adapt and adjust here. I'm known as a 1.5 generation, not quite first, not quite second generation. So always kind of got lost in the mix. Growing up, working in social work, my training taught me to listen to people, to really start where the clients are. I think going into international trade, I just start realizing that value of being that 1.5 generation. Yes, I will never truly fit in either first or second generation. However, we bridge connecting businesses and help this entire region grow. So I think my upbringing in Hong Kong and my social work background has actually prepared me very well for this position here with the LADC as well as World Trade Center Los Angeles.
So as our region, Los Angeles, looks to compete on the international market, we're a major importer of goods and a growing exporter of goods. What role does the LADC and the World Trade Center play in this?
Well, I think the key role for EDC and World Trade Center is to become that convener as a nonprofit organization that represents different types of partners, right? Whether it's public, private, nonprofit, academic, labor, that's what drives our entire economy. So sometimes with a region as vast as ours, it's hard to make that connection. So LADC, being that trusted partner, has the ability to very quickly and easily bring together the partners to solve and resolve certain issues that might be more complex without that synergy, without that collaboration.
LA County is enormous. There are 88 cities, multiple unincorporated areas. Your job is to unite them together, which is difficult because they compete for business attraction. How do you unite them to attract businesses to invest here as a region?
It's not easy. But the thing is, I think it's to really convince them that we have a common goal, right? In order for their individual businesses or their individual cities to thrive, they actually need the entire ecosystem to thrive. Yes, there's always a role in competition. However, there's always potential benefits to actually working together. So our hope is for the cities, for the companies to see that there is a benefit to have a regional approach so that they're not doing things on their own, that there's actually an economy of scale when you bring together the 88 cities. Sometimes I tell folks, wearing my international hat, when we go to Asia, Japan, for example, to sell Los Angeles, they don't know the difference between Santa Monica and Beverly Hills,
right?
West Hollywood, North Hollywood, East Hollywood. For us, it's all LA. So we can all benefit when these foreign companies are coming into Los Angeles and investing. Whichever region they're investing in, the economic benefits is actually going to spread throughout this entire region.
Has the regional approach been longstanding?
Yes and no. There's a desire to work together. However, a desire is one thing, but to put together an economic strategy, that's something else that's completely different. We've been working very hard to make sure that we're able to convince folks to buy into this regional approach. I would say maybe the last 5-10 years, we've seen a drastic difference, folks wanting to work more closely together.
What has driven that difference?
Competition from outside. I'll give credit to the other states, Texas, Georgia, very, very good with poaching. Previously, you'll see the city of Los Angeles competing against Santa Monica. And for most folks, you're on either side of the streets on Santa Monica Boulevard. No one knows.
So now we're competing against Austin, Texas.
That's correct. And they're doing a very good job. These companies are able to see the benefits of actually uniting and working together.
I know the three of us believe in the health of Los Angeles. When you're giving your sales pitch to these companies about the economic landscape and economic opportunity here, you know, what is it? Give me the pitch. What are you talking about? What do you focus on?
What I focus on is actually the market size. When people think of Los Angeles, they think of a city approach. And I tell them, you have to think bigger than that because we have 88 cities. Our population is over 10 million people. So if you look at a map, LA County's population is larger than 40 states. Our GDP last year reached over $900 billion. If we were a country, LA County by itself would be the 21st largest economy in the world.
Just the county.
Just the county. So LA County's GDP is larger than the size of Sweden, larger than the size
of
Norway.
That's hard to comprehend.
Yeah. So that's why we have to get folks to really understand when they're entering this market, don't come with a city approach. This is really a country approach. The population, the market size should be their main focus and the opportunities there as well.
So there's obviously some key industries that Los Angeles is known for. Entertainment and sports are one of them, obviously. Looking forward to the 2028 Olympics. How do these industries shape the city's economy, and how do you use them in your pitch?
Well, entertainment's always been a bit of a given here for the last century. The sports part side is quite new. It's not always guaranteed that we have a sports team that's always going to be
here. We have two football teams now?
Now.
Not too long ago.
That's exactly it. It didn't come overnight. We actually have to fight for it. And so one of the things I keep on reminding folks, don't be complacent, because other folks will be also wanting to have two sports teams as well. And this is a very lucrative market for them to poach from. How do we retain our sports teams? As you're able to build this ecosystem, yes, we have two football teams. We also have two basketball teams. Now we're getting soccer teams. Folks wanted to have minor leagues, including pickleball leagues, are opening up here. So this is becoming a whole ecosystem that's quite lucrative. So that's how it's driving the economy. By having these sports teams here, it's generating more interest, not only in tourism, but also in other professional sports teams that are able to open up their operations. And when they're able to do so, the stadiums are going to be generated, the contracting opportunities, the ability to sell $300 jerseys, those are all economic drivers for this region. So it becomes a full ecosystem of sports entertainment.
What we saw recently with the wildfires, looking at the Palisades and the Altadena communities, historic devastation. As both communities and really the city and the region rebuild, what factors are being considered to create a stronger post-disaster economy? What does that look like?
It's very challenging for us, but this is not the first time we've gone through disasters. We've gone through the Northridge earthquake. We've gone through a number of different challenges here. LA will rebuild, and we're very resilient. We're very strong. However, we haven't always learned our lessons. And this fire has revealed to us that we're not as prepared as we should be. So as we're moving forward, we need to create infrastructure and systems. What I mean by that is that during COVID, for example, LADC worked together with a number of different partners who created something called the Together for LA Initiative. We brought together business organizations like the Area Chamber of Commerce, LA County, LA City to work collaboratively. Luckily, we have that infrastructure. So when the fire happened on day one, we're able to pull the trigger and bring everybody together to start delivering services, specifically targeting small businesses that are suffering. As we're moving forward, we need those systems in place, because can you imagine if it took us 2-3 days just to call each other, to get together on the call, to coordinate our services? That's more suffering from our local community groups, right? So as we're moving forward, we need to make sure that we have this resilient infrastructure in place, because again, LA is so big, everybody's doing their own thing. How do you make sure it's a coordinated system so we're not duplicating resources, we're able to maximize investments, especially aid? We want to make sure we're able to support as many people as possible, not waste that. And that's the resilient structure that we're looking at from an infrastructure standpoint. Moving forward, of course, we need to also build in fire resiliency. We need to build in understanding of wildlife and urban interface. How do you use materials that are fire resistant? How do you make sure that you're able to upgrade infrastructure, whether it's wires, whether it's cables, to make sure that it's also resilient?
Are there any cities who've done that planning particularly well that we can learn from? And it doesn't have to be here in the United States,
Anywhere. Yeah, Tokyo. Tokyo has gone through so many major earthquakes. Their emergency notification system, their earthquake preparation system is very unique, and we can learn a lot from them. We're also now reaching out to some of our other partners. Canada went through their worst wildfire in history just last year. Australia did the same thing. So besides wildfire, besides earthquake, you know, just basically there are lessons that we can learn from each other, and their technologies are developed, and now we're seeking international partnership to bring those technology here so that we don't have to repeat that process, and we can basically just adopt it and quickly move forward with actually creating our own system.
How do you think this changes economic investment and the economic priorities of our region? How does investment in our region change based on this natural disaster?
I think sometimes with disasters, it gives us the opportunity to step back and reevaluate. We hear folks saying we want to build back, but we have to evaluate, was it working before? Right. Is there a way for us to improve? So looking at some of our systems, you know, one of the things that we talked about is how vast this region is. We also have a lot of diverse industries that are represented. And many of the companies over in Palisades and in Altadena are locally serving businesses, restaurants, dry cleaners, and so on. Is there an opportunity as we're rebuilding to cater to some of the growing industries? Altadena is located right next to Jet Propulsion Laboratory, NASA. Is there a chance for us to build up the aerospace and defense industry to help us think about space commercialization? After all, JPL controls the Mars rover. There's going to be a lot of great technology spin-off that can happen around there. And another component is that sometimes people don't link the various sectors together. When you think of aerospace and the space commercialization, you need visual arts. This is a great opportunity for entertainment to be part of that marketing. Altadena and Palisades and other regions can actually really benefit from looking at other industries that can help rebuild the entire economic base.
I mean, that's a great point, because we all know that, you know, LA County and the region is such a diverse industry. It's got more small businesses than any region in the country. It's got more middle market businesses than any industry in the country. It's got more entertainment, import, export. You know, with Silicon Beach now, it has a ton of technology-driven and venture capital, aerospace and defense. How do all these businesses interact, and what role does the EDC help play in that?
Well, I think this is where I share the good, bad, and ugly. I don't think they interact as well as they should.
Okay.
Because we have so many different cities and jurisdictions. Sometimes the industries themselves become fragmented. If they can work closer together, I'm sure the synergies and the innovation can be even more tremendous. But you have to create the infrastructure for them to interact with each other. Sometimes our vast area creates that barrier. Like a lot of folks that they don't want to cross the 405, right? Folks in Pasadena don't want to go all the way to the west side and vice versa. And people are just looking at kind of the core LA. And most non-Angelinos don't even remember that Antelope Valley, Lancaster, and Palmdale are part of Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
Pomona is part of Los Angeles. Like Duarte is part of Los Angeles. So that's where the industries really could come together, because when they start sharing some of the technology advancements, they can actually create new symbiotic relationship. I'll give you a quick example that we saw before. The aerospace sector here was doing so well manufacturing component parts. And we learned of a company that does laser precision cutting of the aerospace parts, because you don't want to waste an inch of those precious, you know, kind of material. That company was able to be adopted by another industry, the garment industry. LA manufactures high-end denim, some of the most expensive denim that you'll ever see. You don't want to waste an inch of those denim that will go to Milan and Japan. And now that technology is able to apply to the aerospace sector and the garment manufacturing sector. Only in LA that you can have that, right? But how do you make sure that company is able to get connected to multiple industries? I think this is where we need more work.
So let's go back a little bit further. When we talked about other regions, you said you've seen Texas and other regions really band together. A lot of them are also forming some formal partnerships. How do public-private partnerships impact the future of our regional economy? Where do you see the most promising collaborations right now?
We've learned quite a lot. There were a number of grant opportunities over the last, I would say, 10 years or so that really allows regions to compete with each other. So LA EDC, we actually worked together with a number of different partners locally to submit for a national grant. And it was actually called the Build Back Better Regional Challenge. We made it as one of the final 60 groups out of about 400, 500 competitors. As part of that process, we got to see some of the other regions, how they came together. And when they come together, they don't only come together on the citywide perspective. We've seen three states come together to work based on one industry. So we've learned that when you have these kind of collaboration, you have an expanded market size. And I think those three states combined together that I was mentioning, their combined size was like 6 million people. Again, yeah. LA County is already 10 million. So we have that advantage. As we're moving forward, the public-private partnership that we've seen that's worked really well, whether it's right now the airport, right, they're able to build their people mover. Those are all public-private partnership opportunities. As we're moving forward with some of the sports stadiums, the question is where are the priority areas for the public sector and how do we align the resources available through the private sector and their expertise so that we can take advantage of it and actually grow our segments and industries that we want to focus on.
So as we're looking at growth, innovation, LA is always evolving. What do you think today is one of the most exciting or perhaps underrated trends that people should be paying more attention to?
I think one of the things that we take for granted is the cultural dynamics in Los Angeles. Sometimes we think of Los Angeles and the United States as a melting pot, and I challenge that a little because I don't think we've melted. I think we're a big salad bowl, right? We have these different components, the tomatoes and the salads and the arugula and the olives. Sometimes when they're not cut completely, they're still kind of clumped together.
Sure.
And so in Los Angeles, you have areas that are really thriving, creating changes throughout the nation, if not the world. So I'll give you an example. The historic impact of the hip-hop culture and the culture that's there is influencing not only Los Angeles, but you know, Kendrick Lamar and Super Bowl, right? Just being able to influence the world. But this is also an economic driver for us. How do we take advantage of that and make sure that as folks are thinking about cultural tourism, as they're coming here to experience LA for what it is, we're able to make sure that those communities thrive in that sense, right? So there's so many different things. We don't always pay attention to it, but our international partners, whenever they see a Hollywood movie or YouTube video, start identifying, oh my God, Little Tokyo is there. I didn't know there was a large Japanese community or Little Salvador is over there. It's really making that connection and allowing us to be at the center of these conversations. And for us, as one of the tourism being one of the major sectors here, it's actually driving our economy quite well.
And those communities that you're talking about, it gives you a good visual of the salad bowl.
Yeah. That's right. You can go all the way to the east side of Los Angeles. The culture, the feeling, the people are completely different than the folks in Santa Clarita versus the folks in the Port of LA area. Wilmington is very different than San Pedro. And then right next to it is Palos Verdes, right? Those are three different communities that are connected with each other. But you get to experience some of the best Croatian food in San Pedro.
Or the people world know that. Probably even.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So you talk about the cultural diversity of Los Angeles. This often leads to entrepreneurship among these cultures, which drives the creation of small business. And as we know, you know, LA has more small businesses than any city in the country, more diverse small businesses than any city in the country. But California is an expensive place to do business, right? We have high cost of living. We have costs of things like insurance. We have interest rates rising. How are these small businesses coping with these challenges? And what strategies do we have that can help them?
Yeah. That's something we struggle with. LA is expensive to do business. But one of the things that we say to folks is that cheaper is cheaper. Cheaper is not better. The reason folks are here in Los Angeles is because we have a product, the population, the demand that's different from other regions. So a lot of businesses are able to thrive here. However, this is not the market for every single business. It really depends on what type of business you have. The small businesses you're mentioning, 94% of all LA County companies have less than 20 employees. So that's
that many. Wow.
94%, right? However, the 94% employ about half of our workforce. Yeah. The other workforce are employed by the 6% that have larger numbers. So it's a really interesting dynamics there. So for the small businesses and the micro enterprises, in order for them to be successful, one, they have to be resourceful in terms of understanding where all the incentives, where all the opportunities are. They really need to know how to market and be able to reach the audience that they want. But the best thing is that when you're here in Los Angeles, you're not just reaching the 10 million people here in Los Angeles. You're actually reaching the 18.7 million people that live in the greater Los Angeles region. That includes San Bernardino, Riverside, Orange County, and Ventura. Because we're so international, we have about 140 nationalities. We speak 224 languages. When you're here, you're actually accessing the rest of the world. We have the Port of LA, Port of Long Beach, and LAX. You can export your products and services internationally as well. So how they are able to survive and thrive is access to that local and international market.
It's interesting, you talk about public-private partnerships before, and you know, LA is such a unique city in the sense that I think we're the only major city in the country, maybe in the world, that we own the port, we own the airport, we own the Department of Water and Power as well. So this plays a big role in driving economics.
This is where the government sector and the public sector has such a huge influence on our economy. And sometimes we take it for granted. With the city of Los Angeles, one city out of 88 cities, controls and operates three proprietary departments. The Port of LA being the largest container port in North America, LAX being top five still in terms of the passengers. Yeah. And then, of course, DWP, the largest municipally owned utility that supplies electricity and water for our residents. Major, major providers of services. But for DWP, for example, their policies are actually driving economic development because their move towards sustainable energy, renewable energy, is actually creating new markets for this entire region.
It's interesting, you talk about new industries coming here. Yeah. That leads to another question. Entertainment's been here for a while. We talked about sports, but some of the newer industries, space commercialization is one, bioscience, quantum computing. You know, what do you think are the industries that drive the next several decades of LA?
LA is always going to be evolving. I think some of the industries that you mentioned, bioscience, for example, most folks think of San Diego, Boston, San Francisco, but they forget that within the Los Angeles region, Amgen's located here, Grifols is located here, Takeda, Xencor, I mean, all these amazing companies. And this is where the public-private partnership becomes important. I think our public sector is also recognizing the importance of the sector. You can actually invest in certain industries that are producing good paying jobs, as well as good entrepreneurship opportunities. If you can do that, invest in that industry. So that's what our public sector is doing and allowing us to grow our bioscience industry. We're working closely to make sure we're able to pay attention to space sector because of, you know, SpaceX and Virgin Galactic that really put their operations here over a decade ago. Now it's creating new international synergies. Rocket Lab from New Zealand came over and took over some of the space that's been left open by some changes. But there's always going to be demand because not only is it the innovation from the private sector, but it's because they're also looking at innovative strategy coming from our talent pool and our talent pipeline. I think a lot of folks know that Los Angeles, we have about 118 higher education institutions here. We produce more PhDs and engineers out of anywhere in the United States because of universities like USC, UCLA, and Caltech. It's really driving this kind of thought leadership. So all these are really building up our industry clusters, and those are just a few that we're paying attention to.
You talk about SpaceX.
Yeah.
How do we keep companies here? Mm-hmm. How do we keep companies here in LA? It's expensive.
Yeah.
How do we ensure we can do that?
Good, bad, and ugly. This is the bad and ugly part. We haven't done a very good job in terms of retaining companies and helping them. Many companies, once they open up, they don't want to have those additional expenses. They don't want to uproot their family and go to another location. So yes, we're expensive, but there are things we can do. As a region, we need to work together, public, private, nonprofit, academic sector, to all come together and actually do a roadshow. Let's visit companies, you know, the ones that are actually doing well, to see how we can be supportive.
Make sure they know why it's great to be here. Mm.
Yeah. Well, also give them the resources that they might need. A lot of them are currently struggling because they need new talent. They're facing a lot of folks that are retiring. And so rather than having them hunt down what the next source of their workforce is going to be, can we not unite between the education institutions and actually create a system and a pipeline that's going to help the workers, it's going to help the companies as well, and lower their costs for recruitment. So those are the simple things that we can do. We just haven't done it as a system. We can invest in it, and I think we could do a much better job in terms of retaining our companies.
Sticking with the workforce and the people at the companies today, as technology and automation reshapes so many different industries, what's being done to prepare the future workforce in Los Angeles, utilizing those tools and really utilizing what the future holds?
Yeah. There's been a lot of preparation, which I'm very happy to see. Our education institutions are working with LADC and some of the other partners to make sure they have employer engagement programs. What that means is that for the curriculum to adjust and for the faculty to understand the changes happening from an industry perspective. Industries are moving so quickly that the technology they're adopting now might be out of date in 2 years, maybe even in 6 months. So if our current education system, sometimes in order for them to change a curriculum, it might take 2 years for them to go through that entire process. How do you become a bit more nimble? And in order for that to happen, you need to be on the ground to understand what's happening with the technology and companies adopting these new technologies, right? So that's where the employer engagement, we've seen a massive uptake in the desire for our education institutions to partner with private employers. And it's very difficult for employers to have to go to the 19 community colleges individually. How do you work together to make it easier for them as a system? How do you create these systems, this infrastructure that makes it easy for our private sector to be able to take advantage of the resources available?
So Stephen, let me pivot to one of Josh and my favorite topics, and anyone who listens to the podcast will know.
I know it's coming already.
AI.
Yep.
AI. Yes, exactly. I'm not talking about Alan Iverson. Back from the Sixers. I'm talking about artificial intelligence. How do you see AI being integrated into local government initiatives, public service, economic development? Talk about the impact of AI in our region.
I see great potential in AI. It can expedite and streamline so many different things. One of the challenges we talked about earlier is the vast space that we have. But with this many cities and this large region, you also have a lot of service providers, a lot of programs. It's hard for folks to work through that jumble of information. I think AI can be a great technology. One of the things that we're looking at with the public sector, with the governments, is that if we're able to have artificial intelligence utilize that as a CRM, we can take in all the information, say all the nonprofits or all the education institutions in the Los Angeles region, and use AI to filter some of the information. So when the private sector company is coming in here, immediately they can go to a government website and access the information that they need rather than having to hire specialists to understand what's relevant to them. Those will be transformative because it can save everybody so much more time.
Stephen, you talked a lot about what you're doing professionally. Let's talk a bit more about you personally.
Yeah.
Well, I've known you for more than a decade. You always seem to be wearing multiple hats and juggling responsibilities. What piece of advice has helped you to be successful?
I mean, don't sleep.
That's it, huh?
Well, yeah, short term, maybe. Long term, it's probably not a great piece of advice.
No. I think a few things that always keep in the back of my mind. Going back to the earlier question about how my upbringing has helped me. As a social worker, you start where your clients are. I think that's a very important piece of information for me, because sometimes you have this big vision for the region, but if your partners are not there, you can create this great plan. You're never going to go anywhere. So be realistic and actually listen to your partners, listen to the businesses, listen to your constituencies, and then start where they're at. That will help in the long process of slowing things down, but also make it more manageable in terms of what you're able to achieve.
Stephen, I love your passion. I love your energy. Every time I'm around you, you can feel the energy for the city, for the region, for our growth. I'm going to ask you one final question. If you had a chance to sit down with a CEO of the largest company on the planet, or the most vital to our region in the future, and they're considering moving to Los Angeles and relocating their business here, what would be the one thing that you'd want to share with them about the city's current potential, where we could be in the future, and where we're going to attract them? Hmm.
I think my pitch would focus on the fact that by accessing LA, you're accessing the rest of the world. This single location gives you so much advantage, because a lot of folks don't know how to take advantage of the resources here. But for a large corporation or strategic corporation that's located here, you have willing parties to step up, willing to bring in the partners together, willing to bring in the diverse industries that are located here to help you succeed. And by accessing that, you can also basically access anywhere in the world. Todd and I worked together before, and we would be able to go to Japan and the UK and access any level of government for our companies to be successful. That's not something that a lot of other regions have the ability to do. But here, if you're in the right conversations, then you're able to access that. However, it's not given that you're going to be able to access that. And that's why you have to develop the local relationship.
Right.
And it takes some time as well. So that pitch is, you don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to set up 15 different offices, right? By being in one single central location and you invest here, the LA region will invest back in you.
Resources.
Yeah.
Absolutely. See, I'd like to commend you on the work you're doing. Obviously, LA in this region is one of the largest, most diverse, one of the most challenging in the world to do business. So we appreciate you coming on the podcast, sharing your experiences and helping to make LA stronger.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. On behalf of the Los Angeles Business Journal and PNC Bank, thank all of you for listening To ensure that you're notified about our future podcast releases, please be sure to subscribe or follow. Thank you again. We look forward to hosting you on the next episode of PNC C-Speak, the language of executives.